Okay, so more questions have been asked as to why Jam has chosen to do what Jam wants to do. Well, if you're not aware, I'll try as much as possible to bring you up to speed with regards to the activities or what's making Jam trend at the moment. I don't know if you have already had your registration, if you're a candidate for the Jam exams. Well, many people have not been comfortable with the fact that Jam had said that some candidates with biometric issues who wants to write the exam would have to do it in Abuja. And that has become a serious issue for many people. Jam, in the latest edition of its bulletin released on Monday, said candidates who encounter biometric troubles during their registration process will complete the process at its headquarters in Abuja, where they will also have to then write the exams. And that is, well, for many people, very uncomfortable. Calls have been coming in. People have been expressing their opinion on this and saying, why wouldn't the board consider an alternative? Can't they do it in their states? And so on and so forth. Well, this morning, hopefully we get the answers to all of those questions that you have, because I will be speaking with a representative of the board. In fact, to be precise, my guest this morning is the head public affairs and protocol of JAM, Dr. Fabian Benjamin. Hello, sir. You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
And a happy new year to you, I should say, as well.
My dear brother.
Because we don't have a lot of time, you already told me you can only spare 30 minutes of your time today, so let's quickly just get to it. The report came out and it greeted a lot of people with surprise. The decision by the board for candidates with biometric issues to write their UTME exam in Abuja. Can you give us more insight into that?
Yes, thank you very much. One of the greatest challenges of any public examination body globally is examination malpractice infractions. And as a board, we have taken that headlock. We have devised various innovative means of ensuring that we meet that particular challenge in the board. I've always said that if the bird has learned to fly without perching, the hunter should also learn to shoot without missing. But we have come to discover that the only avenue that people are still succeeding in this infraction is through identity theft. And we've gone back, and that explains why we introduced or we adopted what is outside there, the use of biometric methods in screening. This candidate went back. So each year when we finish our examination, we sit down, we look at the processes, and we see where there are loopholes, and then we also see how we can devise innovations or other means to meet them. The same thing, this makes sense of this examination malpractice. Each year we show that innovation, they also go back, sit down at their own table to see where they will have loopholes for them to also continue to manifest their threat. And we discover that of failure of biometrics was becoming something else, because globally the rate of the failure is supposed to be more than at least 0.05%, and in Nigeria we are having something much more than that. We took into cognizance the fact that yes, we could have some technological infrastructural difficulties which could make our own case higher, but then it should not be as high as it's been portrayed. And we come to discover that some of them, they claim that their biometric has failed, so that they'll be given the opportunity to go through the back door and then manifest whatever.
So,
they want.
So my question for you now, Dr. Fabian, to interrupt you, sorry. The question now is, you are saying that this move by JAM to see that candidates with biometric issues have to come to Abuja to rectify it and write the exams in Abuja,
yeah, was done to tackle
malpractice. Is that what you're trying to establish?
Perfectly, exactly. So what we have done now is to insist that once your biometric fails at the point of registration, you come to our headquarters where we have facilities on ground to do other background check on you and then we can register you off the biometric at the headquarters. And then you come back to the same headquarters where you've been recorded and other facilities, other checks and all this, to take the same examination. So that we don't want a situation whereby, in as much as yes, we don't want any candidate to miss the examination, we don't also want the sanctity of our examination to be compromised by any, even if it's one person.
But now, there's a popular saying that because you want to destroy a mosquito doesn't mean you bring down the whole house. Did the board consider the candidates before taking this decision? Because now, if you're saying everybody would have to come to Abuja...
You have just re-echoed our policy. Because there is a margin that says, for instead of punishing one innocent person, it's better for 100 criminals to go scot-free.
But then this policy looks like you're going to have people from the nooks and crannies of other parts of the state, about people of the country. There are people, let's take for River State and Bayelsa State and Delta. There are people who couldn't even afford this JAM forms. They had people pay for them. They live in villages where they don't even have access to roads. Some of them would have to use boats. And there's also the issue of the security of the roads. So if all of this are being put into consideration, what was the yastic then to say people should get on the road? Also, don't forget the high cost of petrol, the high cost of transportation, and all of these things put together, people would then have to travel to Abuja. And it's an election period as well.
You see, we have to be very careful when we talk about abnormalities. It's just like somebody say, for you to enter a particular meeting, you must be searched. And somebody that you don't take any item, gun, or anything to the meeting. And somebody comes with an excuse that, have you considered the cost, the delay that may cost? Have you considered the embarrassment that it will cost on people if you search them? We're talking about an abnormality here. Last year when we registered candidates, how many people had biometric challenge? If you're registering 2 million candidates, and after the 2 million, you have maybe 10, 20 who claim that they have this particular issue, and you say, for these people, You must come to Abuja. My brother, this policy we have announced, what I want you to do now, go back to the data. Check.
So how many candidates? You can tell us now, how many candidates have this issue?
Hold on. Please, let me learn, please. Check how many candidates had biometric issues in 2019, in 2022. And by the time we finish this exercise, you will see how many candidates will turn up with that same problem. You will discover that more than 90% of them, that challenge will disappear. Because it is just something that people were just using to see how they can do a lot of things and stuff like that.
Okay. So
the whole thing will just figure out.
So you're saying...
Let's not give oxygen to people who want to... Yes, there could be genuine cases. And we are also not irresponsible. We know what we are doing. But it's not for us to begin to reveal our strategy.
Okay.
But as we go, we'll be seeing as the whole thing is going. We are also very concerned about how candidates go through all this. And we have our wards, our children, and all this, who are also registered. There is no staff in JAM, including the register, who does not have a relative somewhere that is also sitting this examination. So we will not deliberately bring up a policy that we ensure that people just suffer unnecessarily. But we will do things to ensure that we discourage people that want to abuse processes.
All right.
So don't worry. Just follow us. Okay. See how the policy
will. So help us out now. Because from what you're saying, it's almost as if you're trying to allude to the fact that so many of these people or these cases of biometric problems could not be real. It could be something that people are putting up because they want to cheat during the exams. Can we get exactly for this year, how many candidates are affected that has warranted JAM to say they have to come to Abuja?
Actually, it's less than 2% of the total number of candidates, less than 1% of the total number of candidates registered for the examination. But as a responsive organization, whatever we do, we always make plans to accommodate every shade of interest. That's why we're taking pains to go through all these things.
Okay.
Otherwise, if we are not responsible, one would have just said, look, if you have biometric issues, you're on your own. But we don't want to be back and forth because Our desire is that for every candidate who desires to see this examination and has expended his resources towards it,
he should be given the opportunity to sit the examination for him to compete for the few schools that are available out there.
All right. With the budget for JAM, and we know that JAM has also invested a lot into ensuring that it tackles malpractice and try to computerize most of the process, which has become one of the fastest way to take out corruption. One would ask this question. Is it that the commission has not been able or cannot come up with a solution that would require things being done remotely without people traveling to Abuja? When you look at the investment that has been put into tackling this problem by the commission, is that what the situation is?
We have that capacity to do that. But no, I have told you. When at times you want to ensure that you put a stop to certain kind of challenge, you take certain drastic action. If you tighten the rule around some act and you do things that people will begin to call to look at you as if you look pretty and stuff like that, the essence is to discourage people from even wasting your time, expanding your energy on things that you know that are not correct and stuff like that. That is why I'm telling you that. Just watch and see. You will see that the whole thing will just fizzle out. I can assure you that by the time this exercise starts, you will discover that more than 90% of the number will drop from what we experienced last year. But to answer your question, we can do it remotely. You know, like asking somebody, why is it that we're not conducting exams remotely in Nigeria? That somebody sit down in his house and take our examination. Why are we not doing that? Is it that we don't have the capacity to do it? It goes down to the individual candidate. It boils down to the Nigeria, the attitude of people in this country. I have a situation whereby my daughter took an examination, an entrance examination into secondary school. After that, I was going to discover that parents were even assisting some of it. Was during COVID, so it was done remotely. You just sit at home and the child is allowed to sit the examination, all that kind of thing, as done elsewhere. But to our greatest surprise, we discovered that some parents were aiding some of this. Their words and stuff like that. That is Nigerian mentality. Today, in the Netherlands, terminal examination like what we have in Nigeria, NECO, WAEC, and all these things, the body, CITO, or anybody that conducts such exam, does not go to the school to go and conduct the examination. The questions are sent to the school. The principal of those schools conduct those exams and send the results back to the examination body. Can you try that in Nigeria? So it's not only about technology that you have. It's not only about the capacity that you have. It tells a lot about the persons who are supposed to sit this examination. Even the players, the people that are implementing this policy. Technology is good. It can do a lot of things. But who actually monitor, who mounts the technology matters a lot. And who is also going to take part in whatever is happening. His ability or his desire, his quest to compromise the process is also a factor that you have to also consider. So those are the issues.
Mm. These biometric issues, we have a short commercial, just about a 2-3 minutes commercial coming up shortly. And after the commercial, there are a few more questions we needed to react to, because some people would ask whether these biometric issues were caused by JAM or the candidate themselves who perhaps did not follow the process. What could be responsible for the biometric issues? Because if many would say if it was maybe because of some issues from on the side of JAM, like some candidates would claim, shouldn't JAM be held responsible for this particular directive that's now given students? Some people would even say, would accommodation be provided for some people who have no relative at all in Abuja, especially when you know how expensive it is to get secure housing in Abuja?
So people
would write these exams and do all of these things. Does the commission, does JAM have any plans to say, well, we can do this to perhaps subsidize or aid the genuine people that would come to Abuja from far and wide to write this exam?
Once you announce that and see, you discover that 1 million out of the candidates will have biometric issues. Just announce that you have a plan to ameliorate or to subsidize or to whatever, to accommodate whatever safety net you want to put out there. You will discover that over 1 million candidates will have the same biometric challenge. But what I'm trying to say in essence is that, yes, technology that are errors of margins of error, sorry, that yes, this thing could fail to a particular percentage and so on. And that's why I told you that it shouldn't be more than 0.005%. And we have also accommodated that, and we know what we are doing. It's not for me to begin to say some of this.
Okay.
But what I'm telling you, there are also challenges from the candidate. Like, for instance, we've been preaching about the use of what is called any this hyena on the fingers and all those things. These are things that block the line, the biometric line that the machine picks. There are also natural instances where somebody is born with certain defects and all those things, and then his fingers cannot be captured and all those things. And we also made provision for such people to be accommodated and all those things, for them not to suffer for what they are, is not their own responsibility and so like that. But basically what I'm talking about is to address man-made challenges. People that just decide to say, okay, no, this cannot work on me. Or for one reason or other, you engage in certain things that mutilate your linings on your fingers and all those things and stuff like that. So for us not to allow you to take advantage of that kind of situation, you must go through certain screening, certain monitoring, certain observation for you to see the
information. Okay.
But where we see that this is a natural occurrence, as I've said earlier, we also have plans to see how we can accommodate such people. Don't forget that we have accommodated the blind, the visually impaired candidate, who we take care of them. We have centers where they go for examination. We pay for their transportation. We pay for their accommodation. We also pay for the person that's
All right, Dr. Fabian, just hold that thought. We'll go for a very short 2 minutes commercial. We'll be right back. Just stay on the line for us, please.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Okay, yes, we're back and we are live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Joining on the conversation, my guest at the moment is no other than Dr. Fabian Benjamin, Head Public Affairs and Protocol of JAMB. A few issues we're addressing. One of them majorly includes the fact that JAMB has said some candidates with biometric issues are to go to Abuja to write the exams and correct those issues, which many have not agreed with. But if you've been listening to Dr. Fabian, you would also see the position of JAMB and where they are coming from. Regardless, well, I'm sure you have your own opinion. If you have questions you want us to ask, you can send to us on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. And on Facebook, we're also asking a very critical question. We write JAMB and then we write post-UTME exams. And this has also been a conversation in public space for a while. Why should we be writing both exams? Hopefully, I would get to my guest and find out whether there are any plans to see that candidates only take one of these exams. I mean, if JAMB is JAMB, then that should guarantee you admission into institutions. If it doesn't guarantee you institutions, should we just focus on post-UTMEs? Well, that question is up on Facebook, so you can also share with us what you think. Should we still write JAMB exams when we would still do post-UTME exams? What's your position on those? Let us know at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. I'll go over to my guests as we attempt to wrap up. Thank you very much, Dr. Fabian, for staying on the line.
Thank you.
So just two questions I want to ask. First would be a follow-up to where our conversation ended before the commercial. You've said quite a lot as to why JAMB chose to go this route, and many would understand it's one of the ways you're trying to curb this exam malpractice, which was supposed to be one of my questions, but you already answered that earlier. So now we have JAMB offices across the various states of the country. And for some people, they're saying, isn't it possible that these offices in this state attend to people in those states where they have these biometric issues? Why? What is the reason behind exactly going to Abuja when we can also, and we also have JAMB offices in other states of the Federation where perhaps facilities could be put in place for these issues to be addressed?
I took time to explain this thing to you, I have cited examples of other examination bodies globally, what they do, and why we cannot do some of those things. Not because we don't have the technology, not because we don't have the capacity, but because of some of this kind of attitude that we have here, that at times even the man you send to go and do some things, you cannot really vouch for that kind of thing. Besides, we all the offices that we have across the state, they are just offices that are meant to implement decisions that have been taken at the national headquarters. We have management members, the man, the rig, first line staff, and stuff like that. So issues of examination is if something that if we were to run the board as the nation is divided, you could say that is on the first line charge and stuff like that. There is no way you can begin to delegate as a sensitive issue as examination to a component of the board where you just receive feedback and begin to work with it. Because at the end of the day, if there are challenges, you find it difficult to actually say exactly where that issue, that problem is coming from. Mm. We can delegate any other thing. Just as you can see, the registration and other functions of the board have been done at the state level, at the zonal level, at what we call outstation.
And that's the point.
But examination
people are,
is too central. Examination is too central. It is too important. Don't forget, the entire nation depends on this examination. What I mean by that is that today, if you have doctors, you have engineers, you have pilots, whoever the country and all this, depends on the outcome of whatever we are doing that is going to be fed into the tertiary institution. That's why some people call us the gatekeeper.
Okay.
So if you are keeping the gate, if you are giving the responsibility to keep a gate to a very sensitive facility, you don't delegate that to anybody. Even if it's your brother, your mother, your father, you have to be in the know of what is happening at the gate so that even if there are challenges, you'll be able to explain.
Mm. So now you've said this importantly. So what happens with post-UTMEs? Because if we are going to scrutinize and ensure that this gate is kept very well so not anybody can have access, how do we handle the fact that after we take the jam, people still have to go write UTME exams? Has there been any conversation around this?
Yes. You see, we don't operate in isolation. If you look at what we do in Durham or what we do with education in Nigeria, it's what happens everywhere. Education is a global system, and whatever is practiced in Nigeria is not different from whatever is practiced anywhere in the world. There is no system anywhere. There is no education system anywhere where the tertiary institution don't have input into who comes to them or who they admit into their system. It's a second layer of check. But let me tell you, before 2016, about 70 to 80% of the tertiary institutions were conducting post-UTME. As we speak today, less than 30% of them are conducting post-UTME. A reasonable chunk of them don't longer conduct this examination again. They depend 100% on JAM. And at times, some of them will also look at the O-level and then they rate them. They would rate the O-level and then match with the JAM result and then admit this candidate. So it's not about somebody or government announcing that, look, don't do this. It's about how the university feels that, look, we don't need to do a second check on all this. But to answer your question, institutions generally, globally, are allowed to determine how they want to admit their candidate. Don't forget, JAM does not admit candidate into the special institution. The only thing we do as a regulator, we ensure that whatever instrument that the tertiary institution has given us, that this is what they want to use in admitting this candidate, they follow it to the letter.
Okay.
And we don't change the goalpost in the middle of the year.
Then it brings us to this question. It brings us to this question, please. I think this would be my last before, so I let you continue with your day. If you're saying that schools jam, you just said JAM now is not, it just what it does is to work with schools and ensure that it keeps with the standards. If that's the case, shouldn't we just focus more then on the schools setting up these exams for people who want to come there as against having JAM?
Let me explain. If you look at the name JAM, you will see that examination is nowhere in the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's Joint Admission and Matriculation
Board.
So the basic function there is admission and matriculation. And how do we do admission? If you look at the law establishing the board, it says institution. And what we do, that conjunction, what we do is to regulate the admission that the institution do. Examination is only accidental. If tomorrow we have a better way of considering this candidate without examination, we will not be conducting examination. But if we have enough space, especially in most of those highly subscribed programs like law, medicine, engineering, and all this, if we have enough spaces for everybody that desire to go into medicine and all this, there won't be need for any examination. What admits the candidate is the four level requirement.
So, in other words, JAM is a tool to screen some of the candidates before the school does its post DTME. Is that the implication?
Basically, let me just say it in one word. JAM is to look at how the tertiary institution admits their candidate. You give us a perimeter, we want to admit somebody that is 6 feet, we want to admit somebody that is this, you want to admit somebody that is this, and we'll look at it, we ensure that you admit according to whatever you have defined, in such a way that you don't wake up tomorrow, you are saying you want to admit somebody that is short, and then because somebody has highly connected or somewhere, comes to influence you, and then you say, no, you want to admit this person, we'll tell you no.
But
so that is why we introduced a software called CAP, Central Admission Processing System, where all these institutions are players, and we watch on that particular platform to see how these transactions are being done by this institution. So wherever institution A goes, contrary to whatever it has laid down, the Senate or councils of these institutions determine the admission criteria. That would say, okay, we want to admit somebody with 5-level credit, including physics, mathematics, we want to admit this, including this and that, and we key into the system. So what that means is that once you don't have this requirement that has been defined, you are out of the consideration, the list of consideration. So we sit down to be sure that whatever you say that you're going to admit, you admit in line with the rating that you have rated this candidate who possesses this particular qualification. Examination is just an accident. Most of the sister organizations that are like JAM, other countries don't even do examination. Candidates just buy their phone, fill in their data, and all this, and they consider them according to whatever they feel.
And that's exactly the worry for many people. Some messages on WhatsApp already and questions people are asking is if the job of JAM, you've just described what JAM should do, and then we have institutions, what if somebody passes according to the eyes of JAM, you meet these criteria and these requirements, but then you go to the school, and some of the schools have even said the reason why they do this post-DTMEs is because they feel that the JAM doesn't properly scrutinize the students. That's also something that's been in public space, these sort of ideas. So people now say, I pass in the eye of JAM, but then in the eyes of the school, I can't make it. I have to go back again and take JAM.
Let me explain to you, that's one confusion that people don't know. There is no any eye of JAM or eye of school. We have a common platform, one platform. The school also look at this candidate from, and JAM also look at this candidate from. I told you that the act says that work in conjunction with the tertiary institution. So if you are looking at candidate A, the way the institution, University of Nsukka, Nigeria, Nsukka is looking at it, that's how JAM is looking at it. When we send these candidates to institution, all the candidates that have applied, we send them to institution on this particular platform we call CAFS. They are ranked in the sense that if I score 400, I'll be number one, 200, 300 down the ladder. When this institution conduct their post-UTME, they feed us with the result of this post-UTME, and that helps in also ranking this candidate. So they are placed in order of their scores. The score, what I mean by score, is the UTME, O-level, post-UTME in the situation we talk about, where the school conducts post-UTME. Some that don't conduct, they use their O-level. They are ranked and placed, and as they are ranked, we are seeing that the institution is seeing them. As they are picking the candidate, recommending him for admission, we are also seeing and they are also seeing. So once you jump a candidate according to the rank, we ask you, why did you jump this candidate? And there are reasons why some candidate could be skipped. If, for instance, you don't put your O-level there, your O-level is not provided there, there is no way the institution will consider you. They will skip you and move to the next candidate below you and stuff like that. So you have to explain to us why this candidate is ranked higher than this particular candidate and is it picking. You now went low to go and pick this particular candidate. So that is our work. We've had a situation whereby candidates have written to us saying that I feel I possess better qualification than this person, and he speaks. And then we'll go back, we'll look at the perimeter, and then we explain to the candidate why he was not picked. Because there are reasons why he's not picked. Admission is conducted on certain criteria. We have what we call the merit, we have what we call the catchment, we have what we call the ELDS and stuff like that. or institution. So if you don't fall into these three problem areas, you could miss certain admission based on certain particular consideration and stuff like that. So that is our work.
Okay.
That every candidate is given fair and equitable treatment on this particular platform of admission.
All right, Dr. Fabian Benjamin, thank you very much. I think I have to keep to my own part of the bargain now and let you continue with your day. Thank you for making out time to be on the show this morning.
It's my pleasure. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Good morning, all.
Good morning to you, too. Well, there you heard from the head public affairs and protocol of JAM, Dr. Fabian Benjamin, and well, what he has to say about writing the exams in Abuja, sorting out biometric issues in Abuja, as well as going to have to take JAM and the post GTME. You know, that has been a conversation for many people. Why should we have both exams? Well, he's done the best he can to explain. I hope you understand it. But regardless, the question still remains, why can't we have one? I'll open the phone lines now and let's hear from you. 070-0923-0923. Interestingly, one thing he said was the fact that JAM was not supposed to put out, exams is not part of what you should put out. I mean, if you look at what JAM stands for, but this is where we are, and he gave reasons why it is the way it is. He also explained why it was necessary that people had to come to Abuja. It was a tactics to handle malpractice. And I'm sure you heard the questions I asked him as well and the response he gave. Whether or not you're satisfied, it's a whole different question altogether. 0700923-0923. Let's get on the phone lines and let's hear from you. Muriel is in Okrika. Good morning to you, Muriel.
Thank you, Efiemi.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Efiemi, you see, when they are talking about biometrics, it's as if it's something far-fetched, something. Biometrics is just physical examination of these candidates to get their facial scan and fingerprints and all the rest. So if they are telling me that those students that have faults, that have issues, should come to Abuja. In other words, there are some that did not have the issues. And so is it the fault of their equipment or the computer issues? Should they not just replace it? You see, this is one thing with Nigeria, that everything is fire brigade issue, this happened. Children should begin to fly. Do you know the security issues, the kind of insecurity on the road? Parents are even during this holiday. Many people did not travel. Now you're telling students to come. Accommodation. Will you provide? Will you bring out buses for all these things? And when he has explained it so much, and I now see that JAM is not, the duty of JAM is not even to give examinations. I think JAM should just concern themselves with these biometrics. When students finish examination and their own level, they should just go straight to the university they want to enter and take those exams. Then JAM will come in when the universities have given these candidates these examinations, and they will now call in JAM and say, okay, these are the candidates we have considered to give admission. You now should take their data. You can go ahead and take their biometrics, take records of them. But I think that is when JAM should come in. This JAM examination. Hello,
Mira. We can hear you. Go on.
Today is totally useless. It's uncalled for. It's useless. JAM should come in after the university have given their own examination. JAM should just take data, biometrics of these candidates that have been issued exams. Thank you.
Thank you, Muriel. Ogundu is in Alakaya. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Jude.
You're welcome.
If you hear me, Andrew, and good morning to your guest.
Okay, go ahead.
Let us establish this. First of all, JAM has failed. That is just it. That is number one. Whether they like it or not, it's not something somebody should allege. JAM has failed. Let's begin to count this. If you hear me, how many local government do we have in River State? We have about 23 local governments. In each of those 23 local government area in River State, we have more than 20 schools each in that local government. Let's say, for example, do you want to tell me that each of these schools will not have about 20 to 30 persons that will have this issue? Then multiply times 23 times the whole of Nigeria, 36 states, but Abuja counted. How can JAM be able to solve this problem? That is the problem. Are you telling me that if I'm from River State and I come down to Abuja, what is the probability that day will be day that I will write the exam? Will there be no failure? Will there be no issues? And you begin to keep people that are from so many states 2-3 days, who pays for their hotel? Where do they sleep? See, it is high time we start telling ourselves the truth. Jamb has nothing to tell us. Start thinking about it. How many years is Jamb? I was born before Jamb, and I wrote Jamb, and we know how Jamb was. Please, if you know that a system that you are trying to apply is not good, leave the system. That is what we are saying. Before, we were not using biometrics. What is biometrics? Please, Jamb, stop suffering Nigerians. And have the blame and take the blame on you. That is just all. Thank you very much.
All right, Ogundu, thank you very much. I really wish it was a lot of time to have this conversation, because many issues, questions to be asked, and possible answers that could have come out of it. If you heard specifically, he, when I asked the question, he was trying to insinuate the fact that the kind of society we live in, even insinuating that some officials of JAMB, you know, could also be corrupt, and the board would be trying to look at all of these variables. It's the reason why they want to make sure that the exam is controlled from the center. My question now is, what's the guarantee that we don't have people in the center who are also corrupt? In Iwafe, we have Odima on the line. Good morning.
Andrew, good morning.
Morning to you.
Andrew, as a concerned parent this morning, I feel very bad that JAMB will be taking such a decision without considering all the variables. Look at Andrew, remember what happened to people that were traveling from just Kaduna on a train from Abuja to Kaduna? Remember what happened to them? In fact, a lady that died that was supposed to, a lady doctor that died in that, till today nobody has ever had anything from government about that lady. We all know about the security in Abuja, the security situation in Abuja, that in early November, most schools closed for the year. All of us know about that. I'm even insinuating, are you sure that these people are not working for this so-called company?
No, don't insinuate that. That's out of... No. You can't say that. That can't be possible.
What rubbish is this? How can even JAMB even think about Abuja safe to even to start with? Is Abuja safe for me to allow my child, because my child wants to go to school? I'll allow him to go to Abuja to go and die. This is arrogant noises.
All right, Odima from Iwafe, thank you. You could feel the pain. And it's exactly the question I asked. When we think about the economy, the insecurity, the cost of living in Abuja, in Abuja, you know what it is. If you don't have accommodation, is big in Abuja. It's a very big deal. And, well, from what he insinuated, is the fact that JAMB believes that most of those cases of people who are claiming that they have those cases are people who are trying to indulge in one form of malpractice or the other. And that is the best way to sniff them out. That is what he's implying. But regardless, we know that we're still going to have a few genuine people. So how are those people going to cope? He also says JAMB doesn't see the possibility of allowing something as sensitive as exams to be done in various states. Well, WAEC allows for exams to be written in various states in different schools across the country. So why can't JAMB apply the same? Even if JAMB is not supposed to be conducting exams, that's not one of its fundamental purpose for establishment. Austin is calling from Ali. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Go on.
My brother, sometimes I ask myself, in this country, are we being controlled by animals? First of all, sometimes I just ask myself. Nigeria is being controlled by 774 local governments, if I'm correct, all right. Now then, in these 774 local governments, some areas don't have good roads. Some areas in this country, as far as I'm concerned, they use bicycle and bike. Some areas is canoe they use, first of all. Now, people call JAMB. I think they have purpose of controlling JAMB, a military or whatsoever. And they are telling Nigerians to transport themselves from all this local government down to FCT to do what? Right, JAMB. My brother, I wasn't taught that way. And I don't think Nigeria will get to that level. But here I am. I'm a living testimony of this country now that I can tell someone this is where Nigeria is heading to. It's very, very, very wrong. Very wrong. Someone should correct this mistake. Because if they start, when JAMB started, they started with the issue of what's it called? You, after you write jam, you come to another tattoo test. People are taking it like form. They now realize that from that direction they can make money. Then as tattoo tests are come to state. And if you see how much they make every blessed year in tattoo tests, you ask yourself, really? You understand? And once this thing come to state, this another avenue also to support Nigeria. They should let go. In the developed countries, we are looking up to them. I don't think they live like this. They don't have this kind of attitude of their children must go to school in this way. You understand? I'm telling you, someone somewhere can just stand up because he's been given a post to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And everybody abide to that. You understand? And that's why it's from very few sets of people there are the ones that impose this issue of, what's it called? PDP, APC or whatsoever. I want that they bring some set of people to come and govern. Nigerians, we should wake up. This is wrong. I'm not a student. I'm done with school, though. You understand? But if I look behind me, I ask myself, these children are amazing. What next? What legacy am I going to step down for them to show them this is their country? If I didn't fight for them now, when time will come, it will be a very big blow on me.
Oh, yeah, you understand? Austin. Thank
Nigeria
you very much. Joseph from Rupoku. Oh, and sadly, we lost that call. We'll just take some of the WhatsApp messages now as we attempt to wrap things up. Why can't JAM at least say, after coming to Abuja to register, choose the state and zone in the state for exams you want to write, where you want to write your exams? Well, I think he answered that when I asked him that exams are too sensitive to be allowed to be controlled because they don't even trust the staff that they'll be sending from JAM to those offices in the various states. They don't even trust the attitude of the people that will invigilate the exams. And the aim is to cut down on malpractice. After all, their biometric have now been captured, and it is those individuals that are looking at to and fro transport bill, at least 3 days hotel bills on registration period. Text from Oyigbo. Text. I'm sure you heard. This one says, this would be difficult for candidates. JAM should restructure itself. Ola Touch from Port Harcourt sent in that one. Another one here on WhatsApp says, JAM is outdated. What is the ranking of JAM compared to other international entrance exams? You know the answer. Well, JAM is not even supposed to be conducting exams. I don't know if you get that part of it. So please, have JAM considered the financial implication in terms of transportation and hotel bills, and also the issue of insecurity? How many days would the exercise last? What's the possibility? Because if you leave Port Harcourt, for instance, in the morning going to Abuja, what are the chances that you would even be... You have to go a day before, which means you have to pay for 1 day. And then whether you're going to even write the exams on that day that you get there is another question, because we're having everybody coming. How much facility on ground to accommodate everybody is also another thing altogether. It's just a lot of questions around this. But he says that the board has considered everything before taking this decision. This one says, baffled by the caliber of leaders we have everywhere. So the whole leadership of JAM mean they cannot come up with a better solution with minimal impact on the candidates and their parents. Shame on them. Akala sent in this one from Port Harcourt. This person says, good morning. Okay, no, I think we had that before. This one says, hello. Please tell your guests that this JAM policy is not well thought out. We create more problems in attempt to solve a problem. Has JAM factored in how many candidates would die on the road or be kidnapped if that ever happens? Who pays the transport fare and the accommodation? They should simply improve on their technology and at worst restrict exams for affected candidates to state capitals. Abuja should be out of the way. Okay. But that's it. On Facebook, JAM is a means to exploit citizens. That's what Ogu Ojone says. Divine says, rumors have it that JAM scores can be upgraded. Okay. Different opinions, different views, different positions. We'll still keep our fingers crossed, keep talking about it. And, Hello, Port Harcourt is next. Jude is already standing by. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Get on Instagram. We have a post up for you to look at.